Every time a new movie comes out in which there's a bird singing in the background or a wild bird is shown on screen or mentioned in the plot, birders sit up and take notice. It's not surprising. Birds intrude on my attention as loudly and clearly as fire alarms, whether I'm outdoors actively listening and looking for them, sitting in a dull meeting room when a robin's song drifts through the window, or eating breakfast with chickadees at my feeders. So when I'm sitting in a movie theater or in my own TV room watching a movie, I simply can't help but see and hear birds. Whether the scene includes animated penguins dancing with Mary Poppins' friend Bert, or Pierce Brosnan playing a fictional James Bond holding a field guide to birds of the West Indies written by the real ornithologist James Bond, I can't help but be aware. Sometimes bird songs are used in the background to ground us in a particular setting, like the mourning dove and house sparrows calling in one outdoor scene in Toy Story, which captures a typical suburban neighborhood in a quiet, loving way. Many times birds are used in ways that may be effective dramatically, but are sorely lacking from a natural history viewpoint. In Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, I can't help but picture some guy behind the cameraman tossing up French fries to the gulls. Many of the sounds were clearly produced at an aviary, and most of the crow flights were mechanical. There was virtually no accuracy from a natural history standpoint, and the ornithologist character was awful, both in her stereotypical Tweety appearance and mannerisms, and in her limited capacity to objectively look at the data she is interpreting. Not that the movie's data about birds represented reality in any way, shape, or form. But the movie still used birds to shockingly dramatic effect. The first time I watched The Birds, all I saw were the natural history flaws, which made me so irritated that I didn't find the movie the least bit effective. The second time, I allowed myself to suspend disbelief and discovered it's a shocker. The scene in the schoolyard as the number of crows waiting in silence grows and grows can be genuinely terrifying even if you, like me, love corvids and know that such a scene could never happen in real life. The day Finding Nemo came out in theaters, my son Joe called to tell me to go see it because I love the gulls in it. Sure enough, the Pixar animators had completely captured the charmingly rapacious habits of hungry gulls, and I couldn't help but smile and enjoy their scenes, even as I was frustrated by the animators' sloppy homework. They had taken pride in painstakingly portraying the kinds of fishes that are really native to Australia, but they made the gulls look like Western gulls when they should have been silver gulls. They also made the pelicans appear like brown pelicans when they should have been Australian. California artists would obviously be more familiar with the species found on their coastline, but I find it frustrating that our culture is so poorly grounded in natural history that it hadn't occurred to the artists that birds, like fish, vary from place to place. I'm collecting examples of birds used in the movies and on television programs and commercials on my webpage at www.birderblog.com. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.